You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with RNIB's Chief Executive, Simon Antrobus. Thanks for joining us, Simon.
Good to be here, Alan.
So a few topics to get through today. Now, we did mention previously that the RNIB board were out and about, and they were in Edinburgh recently, along with yourself.
That's right. Yep, we had a two-day board meeting in Edinburgh. The board of trustees of RNIB are very keen to get out and about. They don't just want to hold their meetings in RNIB HQ in London. So we were up in Edinburgh for 2 days. And that's not just about turning up in another space. It's absolutely about getting to understand what's going on for blind and partially sighted people across Scotland. So we heard from our national director, James, who was talking about some of the key things he's focusing on post the elections across Scotland. Great conversations with the volunteers who do so much work for RNIB Scotland. We heard about the work we've been doing with transport and in particular Lothian buses, and how we've been building a better understanding amongst drivers and what they do when they are driving the buses, making sure that they understand the needs of blind and partially sighted people. So really interesting topic of conversation there. Great to see the work that's going on across Scotland. We had, of course, a really important conversation about the purpose of RNIB and being very clear about our direction of travel. We had a really strong and helpful conversation about that. And I'm really pleased that we've got some agreement on the words that describe why RNIB exists in this kind of modern and contemporary world. That will help us shape the direction of travel for the organisation going forward. Of course, the Board of Trustees need to hold the executive leadership team to account on the things that we said we were going to do. So we talked a lot about the performance of the organisation, shared a lot about the work we've done over the last 12 months, but also the things we're focusing on at this moment in time and then looking to the future. And as with any organisation, trustees join, they spend time with us, and then they move on. So we were welcoming two new trustees to the organisation, to the trustee board, and it was their first kind of introduction into the way the board works. And the board also talked a bit about how it works collaboratively as a group of trustees. So it's a really good 2 days. I was reflecting on the way home yesterday on the train how great it is to have these fantastic volunteer trustees who make such a positive contribution to the organisation, their real commitment to RNIB, and great to get some agreement forward for our purpose work. So a really good 2 days.
Yeah, no doubt we'll be talking over the coming months about the purpose as well. Sounds like a very successful time. Amelia was there for RNIB Connect Radio chatting to some of the board. And as you say, Simon, you know, some great work going on there. You mentioned the Swap With Me events, which RNIB Scotland has been involved in with Lothian buses and, you know, people like Stagecoach, McGill's, even the trams in Edinburgh as well.
Yeah.
Another sort of transport thing I'd like to highlight was a few years ago, we were chatting with the family of a young man who tragically lost his life in London falling from a train platform because there were no tactile markings on the edge of that platform. Now, that led RNIB to a massive campaign to have this completely changed. They've got these tactile markers at all stations. Many tens of thousands of people joined the petition as well. It was a huge piece of work. And, you know, we're getting to the end of that now. And in Scotland, Network Rail has announced that now all the stations there have these tactile markers. So, you know, a huge round of applause for everyone who got involved there. And again, you know, the work that involved in that was phenomenal.
Exactly. And, you know, it is absolutely tragic that someone should lose their lives because this simple basic design is not in place. So I'm super proud that we've done that work. We've campaigned to change those things. And it's a simple thing, isn't it? It's a straightforward thing that can help blind and partially sighted people. And I'm really pleased that we're leading the way in doing that important work. And it's part of our real commitment at RNIB to make sure that we are doing all we can to improve how easy it is to get round for blind and partially sighted people. I think we've still got quite a way to go in that space, but we are focused on making those things happen where we can.
And the tactile markings as well. You know, Network Rail originally were saying, you know, it could be 2030 before that's done, and we still don't have budget agreed yet. And also shows the influence that RNIB had at that political level to make budgets happen even and bring forward what was a really lengthy timescale for something which was vitally important, not just to, you know, safe navigation, but just general safety in places like train stations.
Absolutely. And I mean, we shouldn't underestimate that, Alan. We are a highly respected and regarded organisation. And I think when we come and talk about things, we do it from a position of knowledge and experience. You know, we've got lived experience in this space, the views and opinions of blind and partially sighted people, but also the careful and thoughtful leadership of the organisation as well. And I think people do listen when we speak, and our approach is, you know, let's get alongside these organisations and help them understand how they could improve things for blind and partially sighted people. But equally, when the moment is right, we do step up the way we talk about these things. We are confident and assertive when we need to be.
Now, I want to finish off with some audio description chat as well. Now, of course, the World Cup underway at the moment, and for blind and partially sighted viewers, BBC One will have the enhanced audio description with 5 Live dropping in on the TV channel there. If you've got the AD switched on your devices, and ITV One and STV as well, going to have live AD. And these are for the Scotland and England matches as well. We're getting more and more live sport now being audio described, Simon, which is only a good thing.
One of the things that coming into this amazing organisation and spending time with colleagues and volunteers and blind and partially sighted people is the power of audio description, in terms of it being an opportunity for us to demonstrate inclusivity and belonging in some of the things that are really important to nations as a whole, whether it's the Scotland football matches in the World Cup or the England football matches in the World Cup. This creates this commitment to bring people together, and audio description is a fundamental part of that. I would say it's pretty much a right. And we need to make sure that we are continuing, a bit like we've done with accessible journeys, holding organisations, media organisations, to account in this space, showing them the difference that it can make, and also helping them recognise their commitment to blind and partially sighted people as well. So I'm really pleased that we're operating in that space. It's a great thing to be able to do.
I know. I just want to highlight as well, there's a great little piece that I heard from Northern Ireland. It was a film fan, and she's blind, and she uses audio description in the cinemas. But I think she had something like 120, 140 mile round trip to find a cinema that had audio description so she could watch The Magic Faraway Tree. And I think she posted about that, and Kate Winslet even responded, and she was shocked.
I know, it's an incredible story, isn't it? And it just tells you how important audio description is, that somebody is prepared to travel that far. I mean, it's not right that they have to do that, but somebody's prepared to travel that far to engage with something that they love dearly. And it's so impressive when somebody like Kate Winslet, who might feel far removed from what we're talking about, recognises this and does something about it. So again, it can only highlight the importance of audio description as being a natural thing to happen in every cinema and on the TV, etc.
And for her, you know, someone like her in her position as well, to say that she was shocked by it and she wants to do something to try and help as well, I mean, that's the kind of people and the kind of influence you want, especially in that area of movies.
It only adds strength to our storytelling in this space. If somebody like Kate Winslet says they're shocked, it does make you know, the key stakeholders in these media organisations sit up and listen. I think that's the important thing about this. You can talk to media organisations about the importance of audio description, but when you get a story like this, it really brings to life the difference it can make to somebody's life when you get it right. How, as I say, this importance of being able to feel like you can choose to go and watch something, and to feel like you're included and you belong. These are such critical values that we need to push as a major sight loss charity like RNIB.
Well, now, if you'd like to find out more about RNIB, its work and its services, do have a look at the website. It's rnib.org.uk. You can call our helpline team on 0303 123 9999 or ask your smart speaker to call RNIB's helpline. And that is it for this week. Great chatting with you as always, Simon. And thanks for joining us once again on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks, Alan. Good to talk to you.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.